Blog Talk Radio.
I see.
¿Ah? ¿Ah? No. Ojo. No me gustó.
How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm all right. Just been playing the music, waiting for Dr. Newsom to come on at 8:30. He had to go somewhere.
He's coming on at 8:30?
Yes, sir. He had to go somewhere after this. I said, yeah, we can do it that way. How you doing so far?
I'm doing well. I've been just kind of taking it easy after this long weekend, but I worked yesterday and today, so hopefully I'll get a break. I don't know.
I know that's right.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. So anyhow.
Well, you go ahead and get started. Go ahead and get started.
All right. All right. Praise God. Just sitting here thinking and going through some things all of us, we tend to fall back, and even though you know there's the Amaleks that have been destroyed, but you know we still have somewhat of a spirit of Amaleks in our lives. You know because God tells us that we're to destroy things in our lives, And that's not so much, well, some of the Amaleks were destroyed physically, but, you know, there's a lot that we have to destroy spiritually in our lives. And in destroying that in the spirit realm, it destroys that actually in the natural. And, you know, according to Scripture, we look at it right, and you can see, you know, the things that in the natural supersede the supernatural is the same as the supernatural supersedes the natural. And a lot of times what we end up doing, we start entertaining familiar spirits, and we start entertaining the things that God has taken us away from. The enemy is very subtle in what he wants to do to us. You know, sometimes it's a past relationship that we may have missed or something like that, that they'll bring it back into our lives in some degree or another, and then we fall back into the same thing. You know, it's almost like an alcoholic. You know, they've been set free from alcohol, and then after 6 months or a year or 5 years or whatever else, and they just sit there, and somebody puts a beer or a shot in front of them, and they say, well, one ain't gonna hurt, and the next thing you know, they're on the road right back to destruction. And we find that a lot of times in our own lives. We find that in our lives spiritually, because that's what the devil, he comes in. He comes in at a spiritual level because he knows our faults. He knows our weaknesses. He knows everything. And God tells us we need to be strong. And, you know, we can go back and look at Scripture after Scripture, and we can see, well, even the prophet, when God sat there and told the prophet not to go back the same way he came, and then when he came upon a prophet's house, that the prophet says, come in and eat with him, and then go on your way. And then he sat there and he wrote after him and says, no, he says, you need to come back to the house. And then when he come back to the house, the prophet said, I lied to you. And so when the prophet left again, he went back out onto the road. He met the lion. The lion destroyed him. And then the prophet at the house went after him and brought him back on his donkey. Mm-hmm. Now, the lion represents that of God, and the donkey represents that of the devil. And the prophet was placed in a grave that was to be shared with the prophet who lied. Think about that. That he went back with the devil into his grave because he did not trust, he did not believe, he did not honor that what God had told him to do. And, you know, we can go back and we can go into Scripture. We can see where even with David, and he said that thou shalt not destroy God's anointing. And when the Amalek came against up upon the Saul and slew him because he was dying, and he went before David and brought the crown, and David slew him because he says, thou shalt not.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see there in that scripture also again, once again, that the enemy, because Saul was supposed to have destroyed the Amaleks, he was supposed to destroy their crops, destroy their fields, their livestock, and destroy everything. And instead, he allowed the king Agur to live, and destroyed everything else. But, you know, when God sits there and tells us, and he delivers us, and he takes us away from things, and tells us not to go back, you know, he means that. You know, at some point in your life, you got to know that God is going to take his hand off of you. He's going to let you go the way you want to go. And, you know, the end is not very pretty. Because if God is no respecter of person, if he will sit there and allow that his prophet be killed and taken back by the devil to a grave, then be shared with a prophet who lied, how much would he do for you? He's no respecter of person. God has delivered you. He's taken you out of the midst of your enemies. He has taken you out of the things of this world, and he has placed you in his kingdom, and that you will live a righteous life in on earth. And we need to be able to sit there and begin to recognize that, and we need to begin to see that. And we need to begin to sit there and start walking in that. And then all these things, the temptations that are coming against us, we need to be able to destroy them. And we can destroy them in the atmosphere. We can destroy those as they come against us. God gives us the weapons to destroy them, and it's our thought, and it's through the righteousness of prayer, and it's being able to come before God and stand and ask for the strength and the courage to go forward and to deny those temptations and cast them out, and we can destroy them. But so many people, They get to a point in their lives when it doesn't seem to make a difference in their lives anymore. They grow weak, they grow weary, and they grow tired, and God tells us we not to do that. I just want to say something to be encouraging you, that if you're at that point in your life right now, just seek out the Lord and ask him for the strength. Ask him, and he'll give you the strength. And ask him for the wisdom of how to sit there and deal with these things that are coming against you. You know, even in Africa, when I went to Africa, I had things that were coming against me, temptations and things that I knew that were familiar spirits that were coming against me. But to stand strong and to stand in the vigil of the presence of the Lord and be able to weigh the difference and seek God at his level. You know, we're not supposed to bring God down to our level. We're to rise up and seek God at his level. So that we can have an understanding. So we can have an understanding, so we can see. We can see what he wants for our lives. He can see that how it is that these things that are coming against us, you know, are they true? Are they this? Are they that? Well, we ask God, well, show us a sign. Lord, let us see the sign. You know, let me know. Put these words in their mouth. Let me hear something, Lord. Let me have something, Lord, that I can justify my means for wanting to take part in this. If it's of you, Lord, and if it's not of you, then give me a word, give me a sign, give me whatever. But all you have to do is go back to the remembrance where God is taking you out of, what he's taking you from, what he's separated you from, what he set you free from. And to begin to sit there and understand and start walking once again. Turn your face away from that what is coming against you. You know, I don't care if it's drugs. I don't care if it's alcohol. I don't care if you're a womanizer. I don't care if you was talking to women, into laying with men to satisfy your own flesh, or whatever the case may be, whatever it is that you were doing in the past before God delivered you. You know, God is a righteous God, and we need to stand firm in his word. We be able to stand firm in his presence. We need to be able to stand in everything that we do that is in Christ. And if we know if these things are coming against us, we know the temptations, and we come to the point that we be able to judge. You know, it says, thou shalt not judge without being judged, but also he gives us the right to judge. To judge righteousness. You know, and we don't judge a person because of the color of their skin. We don't judge a person because he lives on, they live in a shanty somewhere or a rundown shack, you know, or they're living in a mansion. You know, we don't judge on that principles. We judge their character. We can judge their righteousness. We can judge whether or not if they're living a righteous life. We can judge whether or not if they are trying their best to become what they can be in Christ, whether that they're trying their best to be as godly as possible as they can in what they're doing. And we can judge that. And we can also judge the fact that whether they're wicked, whether they're all-time scheming to destroy and to take away and to kill, you know, we have that right to judge. But we don't have a right to judge somebody by the color of their skin or where they live or where they come from, what country they're from. We don't have that right to judge that part of their lives. We don't have that right to sit there and and decide, well, you know, you only make a dollar a day and I'm making $500 an hour, that I'm better than you. We don't have that. That is not for us. That is a blessing that God has given you. And out of that blessing, what you need to do, you need to be able to sit there and be that what God has called you to be. And the only reason why you have that money is so that you can help those who are in need. It's not for you to accumulate to the point that it's only you and it's all that matters. You know, so many people, God has given people the riches and so on and so forth. But that, all of that, he knows for those who are righteous and those who are willing to give and give righteously. And we know those who are filthy rich that they only think of themselves. And, you know, the rich give to the rich, they say, and so on and so forth. But, you know, also that the other end of it, that they also are the ones who make the living, that create the jobs for those to be able to have a job, to be able to support those. You know, so when we're judging, regardless of what you're coming from, where you're at, we need to be careful in that. We need to be careful in that type of judgment. We need to be able to sit there and recognize the fact that the blessings of God. You know, even being in Africa, in Uganda, the people in Uganda, the average wage in Uganda is $900 a year. Not a day, not a week, not a month, but a year. And I've seen so many people over there who are so content for what little things they have. And the people here in the United States that have so much, and all we do is complain. We complain that we need more. We complain about this. We complain about that. We complain that this isn't happening for us and that's not happening for us. And we're always putting money before God. You know, I've learned over the years, even the last outreach I did, everybody was saying, well, how are we going to feed these people? And I said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And as far as I know, God has not failed me yet in any outreach that we did, that we didn't have enough for everyone. You know, we need to go back and rely on God. We need to go back to the point where God has given us plenty. He's given us ample enough. He's given us everything we need and even more. And it's a matter of being able to reach into his hand and take out of his hand. And not to look and see what's in my hand, what's in my pocket, or in the pocket of my neighbors, or what's in their backyard or in their house. You know, when we come to the point where we can sit there and start recognizing that God is for us and not against us, that we don't have to worry about that or the destruction that Satan has for us, because we come to that point in our lives. We come to that point in our lives where we begin to get strength and courage and understanding in the will of God for our lives. So many times I hear, well, what does God want me to do? What does God want of me? What does God want of me? What does he want me to do? And it's plain. He says to go out and be a testament unto the Lord. And somebody says, well, I don't know the Bible. And I said, you don't need to know the Bible in its context. All you need to do is speak what God has done in your life that will change the lives of someone else. So your testimony, nobody can sit and say, deny what God has done for you. But there's many people out there who's read the Bible, who knows the Bible, and sit there and has turned their back against the Bible and turned their back against God, and they pick it apart, and they can pick you apart because maybe you're not strong in the Word. But where you are strong is in knowing the knowledge and understanding what God has done in your life, what he continues to do in your life, the strength and the courage that he continues to give you as you continue to seek after him, as you continue to look for him, as you continue to walk in his grace and continue to be in his presence. God will continue to supply you. He will continue to feed you. He will continue to lift you up. He will continue to take care of your needs. Not your greeds, your needs. He will make a way for everything He has put in your life for you to have. And all we have to do is ask for wisdom. So many, it's even as Moses, when God said to him and says, I want you to go to Egypt and set my people free. And he says, how? How am I to do that? God said, told him, he says, I'm sending you and tell them that I am that I am that has sent you. Letting him know that God is going to go before him. Letting him know that Christ, that God is in him, that God is with him. And God will deliver him, and he will deliver the people. He needed a spokesman. And that spokesman was his brother Joshua. God has put somebody in your life. God has sent somebody in front of you. So God has put somebody in your path that will sit there and turn your head, that will guide you and direct you if you're listening to who God has put in your life. And also, you know, the devil plays the other side. He also comes against you. He also puts things in your life. He also puts the temptations. And we know if God is taking you from a certain thing, whatever it would be, that we know that we're not to walk back into that. We're to walk away from it, and we're to stay away from it. Just because you've been away from it for 6 years or 6 months or 60 years, it makes no difference. God says you do not return the way you came, because it will destroy them, your work with the Lord. It will destroy everything that you're doing, that God has done for you. And when you continue to walk back, God says there is to go forward. We're not to go back. We're not to look. We're not to entertain spirits. We're not to entertain those things that we know that are the flesh, that we had pleasure, we had joy with, we had everything else that was keeping us from becoming who God wanted us to become. I'm talking to somebody that has been delivered, somebody that the temptation that has come against them, the temptation that's putting a stumbling block before them because they're afraid to step out, wondering, is this the direction I need to go, or is this what I need to have? Is this who you put into my life, Lord? Is this the one that you called me to be with? Is this what you called me to do? Lord, tell me. What? Ask me. Lord, help me. You know, show me. Give me a sign. The sign that God has given you was your deliverance. The sign that God has given you was that when he sat there and he says that you received my son, Jesus, to be your Lord and Savior, that your salvation is true and it stands before you. For he knocks at the door. Let him in. Let him sup with you. Let him be with you. Let him guide you. Let him direct you, not your flesh. Not your emotions, but the Spirit of God. And begin to walk in that. You begin to walk in that presence. You begin to know, and you begin to see, and you begin to understand, and you begin to sit there and know that who God has put into your life, that it'll be acceptable and true. You won't have to sit there and guess. You won't have to sit and wonder, is it this, is it that? Because you will know that you know that you know. You will know whether or not that whatever it is that God has put in your life, because God is able to do all things. God is answering your prayers. God is making a way in everything that you do. All we have to do is believe and trust in him. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to wait for a word. Sometimes it is that God will send someone to sit there and speak a word into your life that will change your life. But we can't operate on emotions, because that's where the devil operates. The devil operates in our emotions, because that's our weak spot, regardless of what it is. It makes no difference. Even a surgeon has to step aside and allow another surgeon to do the heart surgery on their own child, because he cannot operate under that because of the stress of the emotions of who's before him on that table. God himself, when he put Jesus upon the cross, he had to check even his emotions. He had to turn his face away from Jesus because he couldn't look upon it any longer. He couldn't see the evil. He couldn't stand to see what was upon Christ. But he also knew He also knew that even through that of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection would come. But yet at the same time, even God the Father keeps his emotions in check. He knew that Satan was going to come against his son. He knew that Satan was going to destroy his son. He knew that Satan was going to do all these things unto him, just as he's doing it unto you and your family and your children. But if we stand firm, we stand in the blood of Christ, and we stand firm in everything that we do, and that we can stand and put our emotions in check, then we can put the Amaleks in our lives in check. We can put those who are coming against us in check. We can put the spirits, those familiar spirits, in check, and we can cast them out and cast them down, and they'll not be able to rise up again. You know, we can sit there and speak. As we sit there and speak to these spirits, as God sit there and he says, we have the right. We have the right to judge. We have the right to judge those spirits. We have the right to be able to sit there and make sure that who we're dealing with, are they enemy of the Lord? Are they enemies of your life? Or are they true? Are they that who God had sent? We have that right. We have that right to judge on that part. We have the right. I said, what we need to do, we need to keep it in check. You know, I've been within the ministries and doing so many different things. The last one, I was just with all the motorcycle ministries. I mean, these guys are hardcore. They're hardcore individuals. Some of them were murderers, and God is using them in the prison ministries. Some of them have been shot 8, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, left for dead, beaten, and they're in the prison ministries. Some of them are rapers, they're drug dealers, they were everything else, and God's using them mightily in the ministries. And I'm sitting there, and I'm with these guys, and I have been off and on throughout my ministry with these different motorcycle ministries. These guys are hardcore. They know. They know what God has done in their lives. They know how God has changed their lives. They know the things that God has done for them. And they know that God has separated them. God, they know that they have the true salvation of Christ. They know and they understand. And yet they go back into the prisons. They go back into the prisons to reach in and try to pull those out of the pit of hell, pull them out of the fire of hell. You know, there's so many in the ministry today that sit in the churches, and they're afraid to go across the street and talk to their neighbors. They're afraid to talk to somebody on the street corner or in the department stores. We're listening, we're seeing it on the news. Oh, we can't go on, and we're afraid that we might embarrass somebody. We might make it so that, you know, offend anybody. That's not right. That's wrong to offend somebody. You know, those people that have let their guards down stand before God. Is he going to tell them, he says, well done, good and faithful servant? Or is he going to say, depart from me, for I do not know you? God sits there and says, for those who deny him, he will deny. Deny his son, he will deny. How many of those right now in the churches, how many of those who have let their guards down, how many of those have weakened themselves to the point where they're afraid to offend somebody, afraid to open their mouth, to speak out against the devil, against the things that are coming in this world? We're seeing the climax of the end of times here in the United States and around the world. We're seeing the chaos. We're seeing the destruction. We're seeing it. And it's blowing up in our faces, and yet so many are blind to it because of one word. We don't want to offend anybody. Everybody has the right to live their lives. But this might be so. But everybody is not going to make it to the kingdom of heaven unless we open our mouths and unless we stand in what God has called us to be and told us to come to. We cannot any longer, as a church, as that of the body of Christ, go another day and tell somebody, well, we don't want to offend anybody. Lost a soul. We just lost somebody to the devil. We have just lost. And then Satan has put that into your heart. He has put that into your spirit. He has put that into your mouth, into your lips, that you're speaking this evil against the body of Christ, against the kingdom of heaven. Wake up. Wake up and listen. You are speaking that. What Satan wants you to say. You allow that into your life. You allow those spirits of Amalek back into your life. And you need to begin to cast them out again. You need to stand firm. You need to be a witness once again. You need to stand up and speak out. Because if you don't, we're going to lose this nation. And we're going to lose this world. And we're going to lose that what God has given us in the kingdom of heaven. You're going to lose it. We keep asking him over and over, why not me, Lord? How come I can't have? Why is this one rich and I'm poor? How come this? How come that? Maybe we need to start walking in the Spirit of God again. Maybe we begin to need to sit there and stop questioning God and start thanking God for the things that we do have so he can continue to pour into us, so he can continue to give us that what we need to take us to the place where he wants us to be. And deliver us out of the hands of those spirits, those familiar spirits that are coming against you, that is stumbling block, that is creating a chaos in your life, in your spiritual life, in your spiritual walk. You need to be able to sit there and stop and take a stand. As that prophet did not listen to the Lord and went back to the house to eat, and got out and left and was killed. That was the spirit. That is the same spirit that's coming against the nation, against the body of Christ. That is the same spirit. And you need to sit there and recognize it. God says, do not go back the way you came. Turn around now in the name of Jesus. Don't let your guard down. Don't let your emotions take control over you and the wisdom that God has placed in your heart, placed in your mind, and placed in your spirit. Once again, reconnect yourself with the Spirit of God. Stop walking in emotions and start walking in the Spirit. Praise God. You know, I know there's somebody out there that needed to hear this. I mean, I wasn't going there with this message, but just somebody needed to hear this because we're seeing it. We're seeing a destruction. We're just seeing the destruction in the churches. We're seeing the destruction in the body. We're seeing the destruction in the world because, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to sit there and hurt anybody's feelings. But, you know, there's going to be a point. Like I said, when we stand before God and you don't think your feelings ain't hurt now, wait until you spend eternity in the flames of hell. Wait until you stand before God and he looks at you and he says, depart from me. There's no welcoming committee there waiting for you. You need to begin to sit there and really confirm and reaffirm in your heart, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve man? Are you going to serve your emotions? Are you going to serve the things of this world? Are you going to begin to serve God? Are you going to begin to serve the things of the kingdom of heaven? Are you going to be able to sit there and take that what God has put before you? Or are you going to deny it? Because, well, God didn't want me to have that. My feelings are hurt, so I'm going to go in another direction. No, God didn't say that. The devil said that. God sat there and says, my word is yes and amen. I'm just talking to somebody right now. I don't know who it is. Just listen. You need to get back on the horse. You need to get back in the saddle you need to begin to turn around and start walking again and deny yourself of the flesh. Deny yourself of those spirits, those familiar spirits. God has delivered you from them. Now it's time to sit there and pick up your cross and start walking and don't look back. That's my word for the night, Pat, Doctor. That's where I'm going to leave it right now. So I mean, I'm not sure who's listening, but praise God. I hope that somebody heard what needed to be said tonight.
You're on the radio.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. Hello, Apostle Hunter.
Come on there.
Hello?
Hello? Go
yes,
ahead.
Am I on the air?
You're on the air now. Go ahead.
All right. I'm Apostle Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center, Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. Our service times are at 10:30 a.m. and on Sundays and our Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. Come by and worship with us. I'd love to see your face in the place. Well, thank God for another day. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Dr. Willie Hunter and to all those who are listening all around the world. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, and let's read verse 5. Verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, those who are not saved. Walk in wisdom, God says, use wisdom. And it goes on to say, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. In other words, not wasting their time. Lollygagging, playing around. They're already lost, and we don't need to be wasting their time. We ought to be living and doing those things, teaching those things, saying those things, doing things in a godly way that will win them to Christ. The message is redeeming your time. Redeeming your time. Let me read that scripture again. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, toward them that are lost, and they're hurting, and they're lacking, and they're doing without. We need to walk in wisdom toward them, redeeming the time, not wasting any time with idle words, useless words. Redeeming the time. Now, that word redeem is, in the Hebrew, that word is pada. Pada in the Hebrew, that word for is pada, to redeem. And it means to recontrol. It means it's an intervening action that causes a release from an undesirable condition. So we need to act in a way that we can help release those who are lost without God, without Jesus in their life, so that they can be released from an undesirable condition. I tell you, people are hurting, and they don't want to hurt, and they don't want to be in the condition that they're in, and they're trying the best that they know how. And we don't have time to be wasting. We don't have time to be wasting time. We need to make the most of our time. We need to redeem the time. Hallelujah. Don't waste time. There is one thing that we all have in common. God has given all of us time. And we need to make the most of every opportunity. God's given each and every one of us, saints, children of God, time, and we need to make the most of every opportunity. We need to take ownership and control our time. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. So that's the message God told me to give you today. I could say stop wasting time, but I'm going to say it like the Bible says it, redeeming your time. It simply means don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Oh, glory to God. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Glory to God. I'm glad to be with you all today. I thank God for this opportunity.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 6, and let's read verses 10 and 11. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Oh, glory to God. What this scriptures are saying right here, if you're sleeping all the time, you're not going to get anything accomplished. You're going to come to poverty if that's all that you do is waste your valuable time by sleeping and a little folding of the hands. You're going to come to poverty. Staying in the bed, sleeping all the time, you're going to come to poverty. And so we need to take ownership. We need to take control of our time lest we come to poverty. Okay, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, when you do this, it's going to help fulfill your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to help you to become what God has made you to be. When you redeem your time and take control of your time, and when you stop wasting your time. We need to do things that create value in life. Oh, glory to God. Look at Luke chapter 10. We need to do things that create value in life. And Luke chapter 10, the word of God that's being taught tonight, is creating value in people's lives. It's creating value. It's showing you how to live a saved life. It's showing you, the word of God is showing you how to live a prosperous life. It's adding value. These words that I'm speaking to you right now from the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, is creating value in your life. You take these words and you work what you're learning. It's going to create value in your life. Oh, glory to God. And that's what that's why we need to redeem the time, so that we need to do those things that create value in life. Look at Luke chapter 10, and let's read verses 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister have left me alone to serve alone? Tell her to come and to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Oh, glory to God. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing the word of God. And what did I tell you a few minutes ago? Hearing the word of God creates what? Value in a person's life. And Jesus said, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It's of utmost necessity. It's of necessity to hear the word of God if you're going to create value in your life. Oh, glory to God. We don't have time to be wasting. And hearing the word of God is not a waste of time. This moment right now in your life, as I'm speaking, as I'm teaching the word of God, and you're listening to the word of God, It is not a waste of time. You're creating value in your life. Oh, glory to God. And Jesus said one thing is what? Needful. One thing is needful. It's of utmost importance. It's of necessity. And that's the word of God. It is needful. And he said there's only one thing that's what? Really needful, and that's the word of God. And hearing the word of God is creating value in your life. Oh, glory to God. Now we're talking about redeeming the time, redeeming the time. Hearing the word of God is creating value in your life. Meditation on his word day and night is creating, you're not wasting time. You're making the most of your time when you meditate on God's word day and night. You're redeeming the time. So anytime, Apostle, or those who are listening, anytime we're setting up under the word of God, hearing the word of God, meditating on the word of God, we're redeeming our time. We're not wasting time. We're creating value in our life. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The scripture says, this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth. We ought to always be speaking the word of God. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of our mouth. But thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night. We need to be muttering it out of our mouth. And we need to be pondering it in our minds. That's meditation. That's Bible meditation. When you're muttering it out of your mouth, and when you're running it over and over again in your mind, that's called Bible, that's meditation, Bible meditation. That's the way God expects for us to meditate on the word of God. He says, don't let this book of the law, the word of God, depart out of your mouth. We ought to always be speaking the word of God. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, so that we can do it according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's going to create value in your life when you meditate in God's word day and night. I'm talking about redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity, making the most of our time. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Time is a limited period. That's why we need to make the most of our time. Time as we know it on earth is a limited period, and during which an action or a process exists and takes place. Time is a limited period. We're in time, and where God is, it's not limited. It's ongoing from everlasting to everlasting. God lives, God is cold, he's cold. He lives in time and outside of time, where there is no limit to time. Oh, glory to God. But we on this earth, in this earth realm, Apostle, we got limited time here. And so we need to make the most of our time. Oh, glory to God. And one of the things we can make, the one way we can make the most of our time is by meditating in God's word day and night. Doing something that will create a value to our life. And when we're meditating in the word day and night, we're not only creating value to our life, but we're creating a value for other people's lives, because we're going to be able to teach them and share with them the word of God that we've been meditating on. Oh, glory to God. I'm talking about redeeming the time. Now, in order to redeem the time, another thing we need to do is we need to take inventory of our associations. We need to take inventory of who we're hanging out with. Don't you know if we're going to redeem our time, we can't be wasting our time hanging around with haters, people who really don't care about you, hanging around people who are always clowning and messing around. We don't Amen. Have time for that. I don't have time for that. Glory to God. I don't have time for that. There's a woman on YouTube that I don't have time for that. You don't have time for that. We got to make the most of our time. And one way we can do that is by inventory, doing inventory on the associations that we have. taking inventory of who we're hanging out with. Because some people we don't even need to be hanging out with.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks we don't even need to be wasting our time hanging out with them.
Amen.
Because time is valuable. I'm talking about redeeming the time. We need to inventory our associations. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Turn there. We just can't, if we're going to redeem our time, we just can't hang out with everybody. Everybody don't have your best interest at heart. Oh, glory to God. Let me say that again. Everyone does not have your best interest at heart. They're only out for themselves. Matter of fact, some of them really don't even like you. And they're only out for what they can get from you. They really don't care for you at all. That's why we need to inventory our associations. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 says, don't be deceived. God is saying this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The scripture says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And in other words, the people that you hang out with, if they're no good, they're going to corrupt you. They're going to corrupt you. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. They will corrupt you. I know some of you women say, oh, I can change them. I can change them. Yeah, you keep on hanging out with that man, he's going to continue to beat you upside your head. And you ain't changed him yet. You just need to get away from him. You need to get away from that man. Talking about, oh, I'm going to give him a chance. I can change him. I can change him. No, he's going to corrupt you. Bad company corrupts good morals. You just need to cut him loose and get away from him. And that's some of us men. We need to get away from some of these women. Some of them ain't nothing but hoochie mamas. And you are a godly person, but you're hanging around with the demon, and that's why you can't even go to church, hanging out with that hoochie mama. Bad company corrupts good morals, and we need to make the best of every opportunity. We need to inventory our associations. Oh, glory to God. And us in ministry, we don't have time to be hanging out with just everybody. If you're not going in the direction I'm going in, I'm out for souls. I'm out for souls. I'm out to build the kingdom of God. I don't have time to be messing around with you if you're not going in the same direction I'm going in. Oh, glory to God. We're here to take over. The kingdom of God is here to take over. Oh, glory to God. And if you don't have that mindset, then I need to get rid of you. I need to cut you off. We need to inventory our associations. We need to redeem our time. Everybody is not for us to hang out with. And we surely can't affect and reach everybody. Some folks just don't want to listen to us. Well, that's okay. Maybe they'll listen to the next man of God or woman of God. That's okay. I know everybody is not for everyone. So we can't be trying to, what did Jesus say? He said, don't cast your pearls among what? Swine. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls among swine. What was Jesus saying? He said, don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time. Our time is valuable. Oh, glory be to God. I'm talking about redeeming the time. We need to take inventory of our associations because bad company corrupts good morals. And
amen.
We need to make decisions based on our destiny. We need to make decisions based on our destiny. We know where we're going. We're in the ministry. We're doing the work of God. We need to make decisions based on our destiny. For example, we're men and women of God, and we're out to build the kingdom of God and to win souls. Well, we need to make decisions, let me say it again, based on our destiny. Going to the nightclub is not based on my destiny. So I don't have any business going to the nightclub. Why not? Because that's not based on my destiny. I don't have any business setting up in a crack house. Why not? Because that's not based on my destiny. I need to do things based on my destiny. I need to be hanging around other saints. I need to be in the church. I need to be out in the streets teaching the word of God, preaching the word of God. I need to be doing things to help people to get to know God and to help people to get to closer to God. Why? That's based on my reaching my what? Destiny. I don't have time to be doing things that's not going to help me to reach my destiny. Oh, glory to God. Smoking crack is not going to help me reach my destiny, Apostle. Chasing hoochie mamas are not going to help me reach my destiny. Looking at pornography is not going to help me reach my destiny. Hanging out with haters, people that don't like me and always putting me down, that's not going to help me reach my destiny. We need to do those things that are going to help us reach our destiny. Therefore, we will be what? Redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity, and making the most of our time. And that's all God gave me to get to tonight. I want to thank God for you all listening, and I just want to encourage you. You really got to identify what's really valuable and what's really going to help you reach your destiny in life. You're going to have to pursue your passion. You're going to have to go after it with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. You're going to have to pursue your passion, and you're going to have to cut loose of some of those people that have been in your life that are not going in the same direction that you're going in. And we're going to have to concentrate on doing those things that create value, not only in our lives, but in others' lives.
Amen.
And brother, I just want to encourage
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Let's redeem our time. Make the most of our time. Apostle?
Amen. Oh, my God. What a message. That's some teaching, man.
Amen.
Somebody threw a rock at you, brother. And you said, I'm not going to happen. Oh,
God.
Oh, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Praise the living God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Good word.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor.
No problem, my friend. I enjoyed being at your church celebrating your 19th anniversary.
Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor. I was so glad to see you there. You're an apostle, honey. I was so glad and so grateful. Thank you.
Amen. It was great. I enjoyed it. So,
amen.
I enjoyed you all.
But you know, one of the things.
Good
that
word.
Was...
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
No. One of the things I will say to everybody listening to us tonight, one thing that God has done is God has made us. He's made us. He's real. And many times we try, many times my brother said, we ain't got time to play around. Time is too important. Time is too important. God is calling us. A particular job to do. It's up to us. We want to do it. If we don't want to do it, it's not you. It's not your fault. It's your fault. And I will say this to everybody. Think about it. Because God is so good. His mercy.
Yes, he is.
His mercy can do it forever. But you know one thing I was saying. To the back of the line. We all have been faithful. I know things from the faithful. People have been saying, I want to listen big. And I want to say this. The more we keep staying together, we can make a big revival in this world. And it ain't got to be what we say, who we say. Whoever God wants, we be done. Because God is telling me. The thing that's going on right now and everything else. It's up to us. It's up to the believer. It's up to the believer. And
yeah.
And that's it. Ain't got time to mess with a hookah, a hoochie coochie. Ain't got that same thing. You can't put somebody to put you down to the bathroom. I'm smiling and keep going. I see my parents all the time and pray for them. How you doing?
Yes.
How you doing, my sister? I will never put them down. I always say, God is so good. He's so great to me. What you mean he's so good? He's good to me.
Amen.
I know what he's done for me. I don't know what he's done to you. See, things God has done for me. Only my family knows what he has done for me. And by church, that was a message in itself. That was a message.
Glory to God.
Let's do this right quick. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the three of us come this far, this long, on the journey. We haven't given up. We've been giving in. We're pressing our own. We're pressing the mark of Jesus Christ. What Jesus told us to do, we believe in doing it, Father. As we live and do, we want to do your will, not our will. No matter what it looks like, how it looks like, we want to do your will. Sometimes, Father, the road gets rough. Sometimes the weather gets inclement. Sometimes. But we know that you're right there with us, Father. And then, Father, strengthen us, Father, name by name and title by title, that we might do what you've caused us to do. Some don't understand what you're doing in our lives. Some don't understand. Some can't believe. But we know that all things are possible. I want to say thank you, Father. I want to say thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for giving us everything. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Father. We just say praise the holy name. We praise you. We love you. We adore you. We just
Thank you, Father. For everything, Father. Thank you, Father. From the top to the bottom. Thank you, Father. East to west, north to south. Thank you, Father. And we know it's time, Father, that we got to praise and worship you.
We're not ashamed. We just want to love you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. This is a prayer
request. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Well, I want you to keep me in prayer and keep you on in prayer, and we just want to go forward. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else got anything you want to say?
I love working with you all.
Amen. And we love working with you too, brother. We just want to give God the praise and the glory. We just want to praise him and love him and thank him. So until next time, the Lord bless you and keep you now, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
anyway.
Teacher, after doctor, I'll teach you.